chapter. You've probably got the idea by now that I'm preaching to you out of the book of Hebrews. Amen. The last several messages, we have been working from the book of Hebrews. I told you concerning the history of the Hebrew church. It was in Rome. It was under siege by the enemy. People were thinking about giving up and going back. And the apostle writes to them, and in essence, he tells them that God has given them many things to make them overcomers. And so we've been speaking to you on the subject, the things that God has given us to make us overcomers. And in this morning's message, we're going to be reading verse 13 and 14 of the first chapter. But to which of the angels said he at any time, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The message this morning is titled, "In the Company of Angels." Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. We pray that as we share the thing you put in our heart today, that we shall all be blessed by recognizing the glory of the Lord. Father, we thank you. In Christ we pray. Amen. Do you ever give much thought to the term angel? Have you given much thought to it? The actual word angel, it has a very literal meaning. It means messenger. Messenger. And the Bible talks about angels a great deal. Sometimes I think we kind of look over that, but I want to read another translation to you this morning. It's the Wiest translation. I know I don't mean Brother Wiest that used to come and preach for us, but another Wiest. "Are not they all ministering spirits to render service, or service, sent on a commission for the sake of those who are about to inherit salvation?" The angels of God have been commissioned by God. Now, how many of you know what it means to commission something? When you commission a ship, you put everything in there that's necessary to make it work, and then you give it a certain duty. You give it a certain assignment to do. It's been commissioned. When a person is in the armed services, and they have two different ranks of people, don't they? They have the enlisted men, and then they have commissioned officers. And to receive a commission is to receive a mandate that you are to fulfill no matter what else you do. That's your mandate. That's what you do. It means more than anything to you. And the scripture makes us to understand that the angels of God are ministering spirits that have come through the will of God to you and I, who are the heirs of salvation, and they have a commission from God to minister to your life. Now, we don't think much about them because we don't normally see them. Amen. I have on two occasions seen angels. I'll tell you about it later on. But I just want to point out in the scripture that throughout the Word of God, you're going to find references to angels. David said in Psalms 34 and 7 that the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that love and fear him and delivereth them. Amen. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that love God. Whenever Gideon was thrashing out his wheat, and God had chosen Gideon to deliver his people, The angel, read it there. The angel of the Lord came unto Gideon and said, "Hail, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Amen. The angel of God appeared to him. Whenever God was about to bring Samson into the world, the Lord sent an angel unto the parents of this man, and he revealed the will of God to them, just as the angel of God revealed the will of God to Gideon. Now, that kind of helps us to understand part of the fulfillment. They are messengers from God, but they're more than just a messenger. They have a commission. We've already read that. They have a commission from God. And whether you understand it or not, there are angels that are around you every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. I saw one time an angel that was all frazzled, you know, and all feathers worn out and everything. And I realized they'd been riding with Pam back there. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 32, Ronnie was in that chapter this morning in Sunday school, but the very first of that chapter, it said, "And the angels of the Lord joined Jacob in the way." Why? Because he was about to meet his brother Esau. Amen. And there was the chance that there could have been a problem. Esau was coming with 400 men. Jacob had no army with him. God had sent him back to the land of his nativity, and now as he is coming back, he learns his brother's coming with 400 men. But you know, he really didn't have to worry about it all that much, because the angels of the Lord were there. Amen. And there wasn't anything that Esau could have done. Hallelujah. Remember in the story of Balaam, when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt going to the land of promise, Balaam was going to go down and curse the children of Israel. And his donkey, now, I'm going to tell you something. When you get out of the will of God, you're in bad shape to start off with. But the donkey that he was riding saw the angel. The Bible tells us there was an angel standing with a sword drawn. Amen. He was fixing to do, I put it in modern Mississippi English, he's going to cut his head clean off. Amen. He's going to kill him. And the donkey saw the angel and kept trying to get out of the way so it wouldn't kill Balaam. Of course, I don't know whether the donkey thought he might get part of it too. I don't know. But anyway, God opened the eyes of the donkey and the mouth of the donkey, and he spoke to Balaam. And then God made him understand that there was an angel there to kill him because he was going against the will of God. Now, folks, that tells me something. Amen. When somebody starts trying to go against the will of God, they've got something coming against them they don't realize. Amen. We need to understand that. The angels of the Lord, met Jacob in the way and walked with him so he could not be harmed. David one time was praying, and he said, "Father, shall I go into battle and do a certain thing?" And the Spirit of the Lord spoke through a prophet and said, you shall not go to battle until you go down by the mulberry trees, and you wait down there, and when you hear the sound of an army marching." That's exactly what it means. The sound of an army marching in the top of the mulberry trees, and go to battle. Amen. What kind of an army marches in the top of the trees? Amen. You figure it out. Amen. It's the angels of the Lord. It's the same army. The person that Joshua saw outside of Jericho was not an angel. That was the Lord himself. Amen. Angels are not allowed to receive worship. You understand that, don't you? This fellow received worship. Amen. But he said something. He said, I have come as the captain of the Lord's host. Amen. Praise God. So he was the leader of the angels that were there. Whenever Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put into the fiery furnace, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and said, "I see one whose form is like the Son of God." Well, it wasn't the Son of God. It was the angel of the Lord that was sent there to deliver them. Amen. But he just made a statement concerning it. But it was the angel of the Lord. It was probably the same angel. He got a workout in that place, didn't he? Whenever Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, the Bible tells us that whenever the king came and said, "Daniel, are you all right?" He said, "Yes, the Lord hath sent his angels and shut the mouth of the lions." Amen. Praise God. I think often of the story of Elisha, how that he's in the city of Dothan and surrounded at night by Syrians, and how the Syrians have come to capture the prophet of God. Now, they really made a dumb mistake. You know, if you can't capture the king because of the prophet, how are you going to capture the prophet? Amen. The prophet of God had warned the king. He saw it in the spirit, and he'd warned the king. And now they're trying to capture Elisha. And Elisha, they gathered around the city of Dothan, and as the servant of the man of God went up there and looked around, all he saw was Syrians everywhere. Amen. And the scripture talks about how that he became very nervous. It said that his knees began to knock together. He just really got upset. And when the prophet of God came up there, he looked out over the wall. He saw the same enemy. He saw everything that the other fellow saw, but he saw something far greater. He saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Who do you reckon was driving those horses and chariots of fire? Amen. It was nothing more or less than the presence of the angels of God. Now, I hope you're beginning to see a coordination of facts here that all line up to tell us something, that throughout the panorama of the Word of God, beginning with how God began to touch certain people, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and so on down the line, there has always been, in the work of God, concerning the bringing forth of the thing that he has chosen to do, there has always been a presence of angelic host in what God has done. It doesn't stop in the Old Testament. Go over into the book of Luke and begin to read where Zechariah is ministering before the Lord in the temple, and the angel of God appears to him and says, "Elizabeth is going to bring forth a son," and he begins to argue with the angel, and the angel said, "Man, I stand in the presence of God day and night. Why are you arguing with me? You're not even going to be able to speak until after the child is born." Amen. Praise God. And then the angel of the Lord, we know that there was an angel called Gabriel. Praise God. Plays a trumpet better than Al Hurt. Amen. Praise God. And the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, comes unto Mary and greets her. "Hail Mary." Amen. She understands. He brings a message to her. You're going to conceive a son by a miracle. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive a son. And he's called his name Jesus, called his name Emmanuel. He's going to save his people from their sin. Messenger of God. It doesn't stop there. Peter is in jail. He's been locked up by a government. But see, it wasn't Peter's time to go. Amen. They had already killed James, I believe, at this time. And they caught Peter and put him in jail, and they were going to try to do the same thing to him. But the angel of the Lord just walked by and gave Peter a good swift kick, said, "Get up, it's time to leave." Amen. And when he did, the shackles, all the bonds fell off, and the doors just opened by themselves, and Peter walked right out of the prison, and nobody saw him leave. Amen. Why? Because the angel of the Lord had come and delivered him. Amen. Book of Hebrews tells us in the 13th chapter that we should be careful about strangers, because he tells us that some have entertained angels unaware. Amen. Now, we may look at people, we may see people passing by, and we may say, that's just another person, but how do you know it is? Amen. That could be the angel of the Lord. Now, I want to just for a moment touch on something here. The purpose of angels is not to just bless you. Amen. There was a preacher up north one time, up in Detroit, best I remember, and this preacher was telling people that God had spoke to him that everyone who gave $100 in the offering that night would get an angel of blessing to go home with them. Well, after he got all the $100 bills he could bilk out of those people, then he began to have a revelation from God that not everybody could give $100. Some could give $50. And they, you know, and he come right on down to $10. You know, you could get an angel of blessing for $10. And one fellow said, you know, I should have waited and got one of them bargain angels. Well, now, if you fall for that, I guess you get what you deserve. All right. Hello? God doesn't sell angels. Amen. Hallelujah. The angels of the Lord are with you. Amen. Let me just stop right here and tell you something. I've already said it, but I want to come back to it again. We are not to worship angels. We are not to seek angels. Well, you know, people get confused in this issue. But they are not to receive worship. But the fact is, they are still there. And God has a purpose in their life. And they come to ensure that the will of God is done in our life. Amen. David saw an angel one time. He had numbered the children of Israel, which he wasn't supposed to do. Now, it's all right to take a census and see how many folks you have, but the Bible tells us in this particular issue here, David was getting old. And there was, I think in the King James Bible, it says Satan came against him. But what it means is an adversary. There was a group of people, an adversary, that were coming against God's people. A hostile group of people. And David asked his captain to go out and number the children of Israel. He wanted to see if he had enough people to fight the battle. And his captain told him, said, don't sin against the Lord this way, because it is nothing for God to save by few or by many. But David did not listen to his captain. He numbered the children of Israel, and because he numbered them, God sent a destroying angel. There was an angel who came whose sole purpose was to kill people, and that's what he did. And he killed people until he came unto the threshing floor of Onan, and there he stopped. Amen. Would love to preach on that one subject right there. It's a marvelous subject. He could go no further. That's where the temple of God was going to be built. That's where Jesus was going to be crucified. And the angel of death cannot pass. Amen. Where the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was given. Amen. It's good to preach on that sometime. Maybe the Lord will direct us that way. But the angel of God can bless. It can also destroy. They come into our life and around our life. I mean, they're not in us personally, but they're around our life for a reason, and that is to ensure that the will of God is done. Now, whenever Balaam began to go against the will of God, there was an angel of God that was there to destroy him. When David turned away from faith in God, there was an angel of God that came to bring David back to that place where he'd trust God, and by destroying people around him. Now, the angel of the Lord may destroy things in our life if we trust in them rather than in the Lord. Amen. I don't want you to think that the angels of God are there for one purpose and one alone, and that's to see that you have a new Cadillac or a brand new brick house every time you turn around, or have all the little amenities of life that you think are necessary. They're not there for that. They have come to see that God's purpose are done in your life. I tried to tell you this last week, and I'll tell you again, folks, this thing really isn't up to you. Amen. Praise God. All God wants from you is to say, I will. Amen. And if you say, I will, and you'll keep your will yielded toward God, He will do everything else that is necessary to see that the things that need to be done take place in your life. Amen. Praise God. They have a ministry. They know the will of God for your life. They are commissioned by God to assist you. Now, if you begin to resist the will of God, they're also commissioned by God to resist you. Amen. Did you catch that? Amen. They can assist you or they can resist you, whatever the case may be. Amen. And we understand that now the angels of God, after Jesus had been through great temptation, the Bible tells us that the angels came and ministered to him. Now, I don't know what they did. I really don't know. But it says they ministered to him. Praise God. In Hebrews 12, it tells us that we are not come unto a mountain that cannot be touched, but we're come unto a living mountain. Amen. You know, the mountain that Moses went to was a dead mountain, wasn't it? But we are come to the New Jerusalem, and he also says to the church of the firstborn and to an innumerable company of angels. Praise God. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, go out here and start looking for angels. I'm just trying to tell you something, that we need to be aware that we are in the company of angels. There are angels that are around us every single day. When I was living in Pensacola, Florida, I was working. When I attended Brother Whitaker's church, I would work some, preach some, work some, preach some, you know. Kind of like these little old ducks that run down and try to get off the water, and they hit and they miss and they hit, and then they finally get up in the air, you know. That's what I was doing. I'd work some, preach some, work some, preach some. And speaking of ducks, Atkins has given me a wonderful little duck here. Amen. Sister Nancy gave me, I guess that's a letter opener, isn't it? Amen. She said it was just ducky. Amen. So, praise God. Appreciate that. Amen. But I was working up high and on this large building that was going to house fertilizer. And it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 stories, 6 stories up in the air. That's a long way, you know. And part of what I was doing was we were building a catwalk between this building and the building that made the fertilizer. They brought it over to the storage area through this catwalk, and we were building that particular structure. And you know, I'm told you before, I kind of feel what the Lord said: "Lo, I am with you always." Amen. You know? I didn't really care about working up high like that. And it was so strange. I was up there and I just holding on to everything, you know. And they wanted me to walk across this. You know, they'd put some 2x4s out there, and they were standing up edgeways, and that's 1.5 inches to walk on, you know. And we were having to walk across this 1.5 inch board to get to the other side. And I really didn't like that at all, you know. And I started trying to walk across one of those boards, and I could just feel fear working on me, you know. And I turned around, and there was a man in a suit standing behind me, smiling at me. And then he just disappeared just like that. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "The angels are there to the ministers of salvation." Amen. And I knew that I had seen an angel of the Lord. Well, after that, brothers and sisters, I had no problem up there. I was walking around like a cat after that. Praise God. I knew, you know, that doesn't mean that we can disregard and we can tempt God. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But I knew that I had no reason to fear because God was with me in that place. The second time that I saw an angel, at least I believe him to be an angel of the Lord, was after I had come here just a little while. There was a lot of things that were going on that were adverse. I mean, really hard things. And we were living over here by the church in a trailer. And we'd been here a couple of years, and some really hard things had happened. And like I mentioned before, I was trying to tell God why I needed to leave here, you know. And the Lord was telling me that I needed to stay. Well, I never will forget, I was sitting in the front room of the trailer, and the phone rang. Amen. It's good of an angel to call before he shows up. Amen. And this fellow began to talk to me like nobody had ever talked to me before in my life. He talked as though he had known me all of my life. He talked to me about things that nobody could have known. And he began to encourage me in the work here, encourage me, begin to tell me things that I needed to do. And I was sitting there with tears running down my face, you know. And I hung the phone up, and Sister Potter walked over and said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I just got a phone call from God." Amen. And I thought that was the end of it. Well, that was in the middle of the week sometime. On Sunday morning, the fellow called me back again. He says, "I'm going to be in church with you this morning. Wondering what time to come." I told him. And there, this guy shows up. He comes in the church and he sits down. I ministered that morning, and he just sits there with a big smile on his face the whole time. And when I talked to him, he is almost childlike in his actions, but when he opens his mouth, it is so profound that he is a contradiction of terms to me. And I'm saying, "Lord, what's going on here?" You know. And the man says to me, "I'm leaving town now, and would you give me a ride to the state line?" And I thought, well, if that's what you want. So I got him in the car, and we drove him out here to the state line. That's before they had the expressway, and a long time before they had it. And when we got to the state line, he asked me to let him out there, and I asked him if he'd had lunch yet, and he said no, and I gave him some money. I said, "Here, buy yourself some lunch." And he thanked me. He got out of the car, and I turned the car around. I left the man standing beside of the road. I turned the car around. I looked back in the mirror, and there was nobody there. Go figure. Amen. Now, folks, I don't know. I don't know what happened. All I know is when I turned the car around and looked back in the mirror, the guy wasn't there. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, God knew that I needed something more. Now, it's wonderful when God speaks to your heart. But God knew the struggle that I was going through at that time. He knew how much I needed support from somebody Let me put it this way. There was a little boy one time that was in his bed, and it was kind of like it was last night, thundering and lightning and booming and crashing. And little boy went in his mama's room and asked if he could kind of snuggle up with them that night. And And the parents said to them, well, now, you shouldn't be afraid. The Lord's in that bedroom with you. And he said, I know, Mama. I said, but right now, I just need somebody with skin on them. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord knew, you know, I felt encouragement from the Lord. But there comes a time in your life when you need somebody with skin on them, amen, to kind of come along and encourage you and to tell you, you know. Now, I don't know. That could have been a man. I don't know what God did with him. If he ran behind a bush or something, I don't know. But all I know is the man. That's all right. Amen. But whether he was a man or an angel from God, I know this: God sent him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I won't try to read something into it that's not there, but I believe to this day, personally, my own feelings is that he was an angel of the Lord. And I'm sure that there have been times in all of our lives where we have been involved with things that we don't really understand. I'm going to give you one more story, then I'm going to close. Brother Whitaker told me this story. Many years ago, about a time when he lived in Missouri, and he was pastoring a church. There was a lot of snow on the ground. It was in the winter time, of course, either that or a real cold summer. Amen. But I assume it was in the winter time. He said the snow was quite deep. It was several inches deep outside. And it was after church one Sunday evening that he heard a knock on the door, and he went to the door. There was a man standing there, wrapped up and shivering, and he said, sir, I'm hungry. Have you got anything that I could eat? And Brother Whitaker invited him in, and he said all they had left over, they had a few beans and some cornbread left over from dinner that day. And he said, sir, all I've got is some beans and cornbread, but you're welcome to them, you know. And so they sat down, and they heated up the food, and Sister Whitaker did, and they fed the man, and they talked about the Lord a little bit. And then the man said, well, I've got to go now. And Brother Whitaker said, are you going to go back out in this cold weather? And he said, yeah, I've got to go. And so the man walked out of the door, and they said goodbye, and Brother Whitaker thought no more about it until the next morning. In the next morning, when he walked outside, there were no footprints in the snow where the man had approached the house. There was snow all the way around the house. There were footprints in the yard walking away from the house, only out to the middle of the yard, and that's as far as they went. Now, folks, that was an angel of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The testimony was in the snow. Amen. You know, it didn't snow that night. And it had snowed that afternoon. And nobody had been outside since after church. And the only footprints that were there were the footprints where the man had walked away from the house until he closed the door. And when he closed the door, the footprints disappeared. Amen. Well, praise God. Now, folks, there's a whole lot more stories I could tell you, but we're already over time here this morning. But I just want you to understand something. If you're a child of God, trusting in the Lord. Now, we're not trusting in angels. You understand that? We're not trusting in the angels. But I want you to understand that they're there. And they have a purpose in your life. And that purpose is to see that the will of God is accomplished. If Rome wants to lock you up, they can do so. But if it's the will of God for you to be free, the angel of God's going to come and open the door. Amen. Praise God. There is nothing that any power in this world can do that the angel of God cannot undo to perform the will of God in your life. Amen. So, realize this about overcoming. Amen. You're not alone, folks. Amen. I said, you're not alone. Amen. God has sent ministering spirits with you. You know, a lot of folks, all they see is the devil. And that's all the devil wants you to see. The devil did this and the devil did that. Folks, get your eyes a little bit higher, praise God. And understand, yes, the devil's out there. I'm not going to deny that. But God has also sent, God's got 2/3 of the angels left, folks. That means they outnumber the devil 2-1, praise God. And the angel of the Lord is there. How many times have you been in a situation where certain calamity looked almost imminent in your life and then all of a sudden it was averted to the last second? Many times I have been there. Many times. Just twice over here on 69 Highway, amen, I can think of, where I was passing somebody and some knucklehead would come out to the road and turn right, run a stop sign right in front of me and turn right in front of me like that. Twice that's happened on 69 Highway. Twice I've had to whip the truck or car to the right to avoid hitting them head on. And look back, and the vehicle that I passed, I don't see it anywhere. Amen. Praise God. Somehow the angel of the Lord's grabbed it and pulled it back somehow. I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know that God has sent angels to us who are the heirs of salvation. Amen. Praise God. We don't trust in them. We don't worship them. But it's good to know we got help. Amen. You're not alone here, folks. Amen. Amen. I hope this ministers to you, because we are in the company of angels this morning. Praise God. I wish a few more of our folks would come and make these angels stand. Amen. Praise God. But bless you for being here today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for sending these angels to minister to us, even though we hardly ever see them, God, or even know they're there. We still thank you, God, for the protection and the guidance that the angels of the Lord bring us. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there'll be service tonight. We don't have a dictator here to tell us what time to be here, so I would imagine be here at 6:30. Amen. If you can come a little bit early and have a time of prayer, that'll be fine too. Amen. So we'll see you this evening. God bless you.